Tvam, your lordship, Maya, by your eternal energy, Atma Ashrayaya, whose existence is under your shelter, Swaya, emanated from yourself, Idam, this, Niramaya, for the sake of creating, Vishvam, the entire universe, Tat, into it, Anupravishtita, you enter, Pashanti, they see, Yukta, persons in touch with you, Manasa, by an elevated mind, Manishinaha, persons with advanced consciousness, Guna, of material qualities, Vyavaye, in the transformation, Api, although, Anugunam, still untouched by the material qualities. Vipassitaha, those who are fully aware of the truth of Shastra. Translation of Purport Word by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme, you are independent in yourself and do not take help from others. Through your own potency, you create this cosmic manifestation and enter into it. Those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are fully in knowledge of the authoritative Shastra, and who through the practice of Bhakti Yoga are cleansed of all material contamination, can see with their clear minds that although you exist within the transformations and the material qualities, your presence is untouched by these qualities. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kunteya jagatvi parivartite. This material nature working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Material energy creates, maintains, and devastates the entire cosmic manifestation because of directions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enters this universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, but is untouched by the material qualities. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord refers to Maya, the external energy, which creates this material world as Mama Maya, my energy, because the energy works fully under the full control of the Lord. These facts can be realized only by those who are well versed in Vedic knowledge and advanced in Krishna consciousness. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste, Sarasvatam Deve, Gauravani Pacharne, Nirvishesha, Srinivadi, Paskatyade, Satarne. When Srila Vyasadeva was told by Narada Muni to meditate upon the Supreme Lord, then he sat in meditation and he came up with the following conclusion. Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranihite Male. Apaisha Purusham Purnam Maya Cha Tad Apashrayam. So Bhakti Yogena, by completely linking his mind in Krishna consciousness through the process of devotional service, that he not only thought about Krishna, but he thought about Krishna with devotion. Bhakti, bhakti. Yogena, manasi. So, we're trying to link our minds with Krishna in the spirit of devotion. Our problem is that our minds are not linked with Krishna, and even if there's some linkage with Krishna, it may not be favorable. Therefore, bhakti yogena manasi, by the process of devotional service or yoga, then it can become bhakti. The mind can be filled with the consciousness of bhakti. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak. That means to become connected. Pranihite male. Without any material conceptions. People may think so many things about Krishna, but most of those things are just mental speculation. One cannot conceive of the spiritual energy simply by a mental effort. One has to be bestowed the internal energy upon Krishna, and has to be bestowed upon one through the process of devotional service. As Krishna says, bhakti mam avijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishyate tad anantaram. That's only through the process of devotion that one can understand Krishna as he is, and therefore enter into the mystery of one's understanding. And to gain devotion, one has to surrender to Krishna's representatives who have devotion. Surrendering is not just a mechanical process of doing something with one's gross body, but it's also accepting a certain service attitude, becoming receptive to the attitude of service that Krishna's representatives is trying to convey. Otherwise, there are many slaves. They do many things that their master wants them to do, but it's not necessarily out of devotion. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male. So one's consciousness completely purified, and then what did he see? Apashat purusham purnam. Then he saw the original personality of Godhead as he actually is, uncovered by illusion. If one is envious of Krishna or in competitive of Krishna, bhayam dvitiya binivesita syad, then one is, instead of becoming Krishna's servant in the mood of service, one thinks oneself to be competing against Krishna, trying to gain Krishna's resources, and imagining that these resources belong to me rather than to Krishna. Vayam dvitiya binivesitasya ashat, let's see, how does it go? Vayam dviti binivesitasya aparyusmriti. Then the role becomes reversed. Instead of trying to serve Krishna, one tries to become or imitate Krishna. And therefore one is filled with fear because Maya bestows upon us a false ego. And when we have a false ego, the result is we misidentify ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, which is the source of all fear. After all, these gross and subtle bodies are subject to destruction, especially disease. Now everyone's fearful that they're diseased. They don't realize that their actual disease is their consciousness is diseased. Therefore, they think they're diseased. If you have a car and it runs out of gas and you fall on the ground and start screaming, my car is dead, then you're crazy because your car just is not working. But that doesn't mean that you're dead. Similarly, those who misidentify themselves with this gross and subtle body due to the causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna, they're always in fear. that my body is going to die. Which is a problem, because as long as we're in the material world, every single body that we're going to get is disappearing one after another, eternally. Therefore, if one likes horror movies, then this is a good place to come, because you can have an eternal horror movie. But it's very unpleasant, and it's painful for the soul to have no goal in life other than to survive and trying to squeeze out some kind of pleasure in a place where there is no real pleasure. Therefore, one is always fearful. I'm growing older. The source of my happiness, the source of my worship, the source of my future is going to disappear soon, and I don't know where I'm going next. Whether I disappear completely, or I become a dog, or I go to the heavenly, I have no idea where I'm going next. So therefore, it's always a fearful situation. Vipario smriti. And therefore, one's consciousness is always bewildered. Apashyat purusham purnam maya chad tad apashrayam. But then he also saw that behind Krishna was maya, and maya had no influence over Krishna. Now, the soul, ourselves, we're not influenced by the material nature, because we're beyond the material nature. We're apart from the material nature. Just like oil and water never mix, actually, they may appear to mix for some time, but they're always different entities. So the soul, as Krishna says, Amaditvam, Adandidvam, Ahimsa Shanti Arjavam, Acharya Pasanam, no, that's sorry. Anaditvani Gurunadvat Paramatmayam Avyam, Sharira Stopikundiya, Na Karoti, Na Nalipite. Those who could actually see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything, nor is he actually entangled. So we're not entangled, we're not doing anything, but because we want to think ourselves the doer, we want to think ourselves a proprietor, therefore our consciousness is covered. And therefore, instead of being conscious of Krishna, we're conscious of the illusion that's being projected by the material nature, and that's what we're conscious of. So our consciousness is simply a limitation. The reality we don't see because our consciousness is covered by whatever conceptions we were attached to. That's the only problem that we have. The other problems, they're not our problems, they're our body's problems. But we're not the body. Besides that, which body? At every moment, the body is changing. So even the idea that it's the body's problem, the body doesn't have any problems because it doesn't have any real... It's just a conception. The body that we have is just a conception that we identify with. But it's not really a person. It has no real reality. Anything more than anything else here in the material world has an ultimate reality. It has it has existence, but that existence is just a conception. We think something is a table, something is a body, something is a floor. It is, in the relative sense, but what it actually is Krishna's energy constantly changing. It's simply another combination of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, manifesting itself and unmanifesting itself perpetually. And sometimes we call it floor, and sometimes we call it a wall, sometimes we call it my body, and sometimes we call it so many different things, but it's just a manifestation of Krishna's energy, which has no ultimate reality. So, how to wake up? Of course, it's the whole... If we think Krishna is just like one of us, when he comes, when his teachings are just like, well, whatever we could say, we could also speak Bhagavad Gita. It's only 700 verses, and it's pretty simple. Krishna keeps on saying the body's changing, but we're not changing. We heard it a million times. Why don't we get into something a little bit more intelligent? Now, to understand, Prabhupada said, to understand that we're not this body will take us people 500 years to understand it. So simple. Yeah, because the Maya that we were attached to makes everything so complicated. We want to, people will spend billions of dollars trying to find out what the material nature is, but they won't spend a dime to find out who they are. So they always have to come up with something new, because it's guaranteed whatever they found out before was wrong. So even if they spend another 100 billion trillion dollars trying to find out what's going on in the material world, they'll still be wrong. Well, they can spend forever trying to find out. Only when they understand how everything is being manipulated, managed by Krishna, and how he's doing it and why he's doing it, only if one understands things properly from Bhagavad Gita can one understand that the person who's manifesting and controlling the material nature is not doing it out of being forced to do it by the material nature. He's doing it for his own purposes, not being forced by the external energy. He's controlling time beyond the material nature, and he's controlling the material nature and telling it, according to the, through time changing the material energy, and as a super soul, telling the material nature what everyone deserves and desires, so the material nature can manifest itself accordingly and fulfill everyone's desires according to what they deserve, award them the results of karma. So such a person is not under karma, he's not under time, he's the controller of those things. But avijananti mamuda manushim tanumashitya parambhavama janata mamabhuta maheshra. When Krishna comes, everyone derides him. Not everyone. Most people deride him at descending in a human-like form because they don't know his transcendental nature and his supreme dominion over all the big. So as soon as we forget that, as soon as we look at anything with the idea of controlling or enjoying it, then we forget Krishna, and then we forget that he's actually the controller, that he's actually the enjoyer, and then we have to be in the bodily concept of life, and immediately we'll be in anxiety to one degree or another. Even Indra, king of heaven, he's attached to his heavenly planet, and he wants to protect it, even from Krishna sometimes. Krishna tried to get the Parijata flower for his wife, Satyabhama, and Indra and the demigods attacked Krishna. Of course, they lost. But it shows that even a devotee like Indra, when he becomes attached, then he falls into Maya. So what to speak of our poor selves, once in a while we fall into Krishna consciousness. And then we become proud that I'm a great pure devotee, everyone should worship me, and then we're back in Maya again. So it's not so easy to understand how Krishna is working, or even who Krishna is, but if we just stick to the process of Krishna consciousness with some determination, some sincerity, then gradually things will be revealed to us, and we'll understand how Krishna is actually the controller. I was reading that now we think there's a pandemic and that everyone is being forced to get vaccinated or whatever else, that this is a very unique time. But I was reading when they had the smallpox, so-called smallpox. I mean, most of these things are just inventions. Not that smallpox didn't exist, but their idea of how to treat it, or what's the cause of it. They thought it was caused by some virus, cowpox or whatever, but actually it was caused by uncleanliness. And many people got affected by it, but that was just a symptom rather than the actual disease. The disease is uncleanliness, indigestion, etc., etc., etc. In any case, they came up with this idea of vaccination, and they vaccinated everyone. They were made it mandatory in some parts of the world to get the vaccination. And people were dying from the vaccination. They weren't dying from the so-called smallpox. More people died from the vaccination they did from what they thought the disease was. So it's nothing new that people are getting reactions to their sinful activities, especially in the form of disease and pestilence and things like that. This is going on, especially in Kali Yuga. But even Ayurveda describes that, which is thousands of years old, Charak Samhita, that when the rulers are sinful, then the water becomes contaminated, the air becomes contaminated, the food becomes contaminated, people's minds become contaminated, and then there's the disease. So nowadays, people are themselves sinful, and they elect sinful leaders who create, like here in Ljubljana, I think, I don't know how often they have these chemtrails. Do you ever see chemtrails here? Every day they have it? What's that?
Very often.
Very often. So what are chemtrails made out of? Do you know? What's that? Yeah, they're made out of a number of things you wouldn't want to eat. They're not just painting the sky for decoration. And who's doing it? My grandmother's not doing it, I can tell you. The people controlling, even the people so-called leaders of the government, they don't even know who's doing it sometimes. Because people are sinful and therefore they have to get their reactions, and it comes in these forms. Contaminated water, contaminated air, contaminated food, contaminated consciousness. And that causes the problems, the ill health, the so-called pandemic. If everyone's breathing in the same contaminated air and everyone gets sick, you say, oh, it must be a virus. It's not. could be the chemicals in the air that you're breathing in also. So Krishna gives through his material nature. He gives either liberation, or vam gacchati sattvasta madhye tishtati rajasa jaganya guna vrittista ado gacchati tamasa. If one is acting in the mode of goodness, then he goes upward. Life becomes more pleasant. If he acts in the mode of passion, he works harder and harder in materialistic civilization. And if he's in the mode of ignorance, he goes downward to the lower species. So when people are sinful, and what is sinful? Killing animals, illicit sex, intoxication, speculation, gambling. These are all sinful. They all cause one deep forgetfulness of God. They're all pretentious activities to enjoy and control the material nature, lording it over the illusory energy. Then Krishna gives the reactions for it. And the reactions are supposed to inform people that these activities are not good. Unfortunately, the leaders never inform people why they're suffering. They tell you you're suffering because you're not doing enough sinful activities. Therefore, they strive in the wrong direction. Because they've chosen the wrong leaders who, instead of giving them the proper information, had to correct the problems, correct the suffering that they're undergoing, at least learn how to not create more suffering. They tell them how to work in the material world to create even more suffering. Therefore, the only hope is to understand that the person behind this whole thing, he doesn't want people to suffer. He wants them to become happy and prosperous and eventually go back to the spiritual world and live forever. That's Krishna. But we have to follow Krishna's directions. We have to find out what they are and then value them enough that we apply them in our lives. At least we try to the best we can and hope that Krishna will give us more and more intelligence what those instructions are and how to apply them. Otherwise, there's no hope. Whatever people are suffering now will not benefit them unless they understand why they're suffering. Unless they at least develop some interest in finding out why they're suffering, rather than just accept blindly what people who are also ignorant. The leaders are blind, and the followers are also blind. So nothing is really being of any significance being accomplished when the blind lead the blind. And we're supposed to have the eyes, we're supposed to at least accept that the scriptures have the eyes, and of course we should find out what those scriptures are saying too, so that we can give other people a vision, so that they can actually end their suffering and make life, human life especially, useful, prosperous, and productive, in spite of whatever reactions may be going on around us. If everyone's jumping off a cliff, it doesn't mean we have to follow just to be sociable. So I'll stop there. Thank you, Kuala. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. I was wondering a little bit about the word prosperous. When you said, and you've said it a few times, that in the human form of life, we are supposed to follow what the scriptures say and be happy and prosperous and productive and then ultimately go back to Godhead. But in all these years in Krishna consciousness, we have a more poverty consciousness rather than a prosperity consciousness. Would you comment a little bit about that?
Well, prosperity means to have nice prasadam, fresh air to breathe, nice relationships, peaceful sleep, dreaming about Krishna. That's prosperity. Everything else is a burden.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Thank you very much for inspiring lecture. You mentioned that people in the material world are always fearful. What is the role of courage for devotees? So how important is courage for advancement in devotional service and how to achieve it?
Well, belief that Krishna will protect one, Krishna will maintain one, at least spiritually, then that's taking shelter of Krishna. Krishna says, Ma Suchaha, surrender to me, give up all varieties of religion, just surrender to me, and I'll protect you from all sinful reaction, therefore you have nothing to fear. So the belief Krishna, if we take shelter of him, follow his instructions, enthusiastically in devotional service, he'll carry what we lack and preserve what we have. So we have to have faith in Krishna. That's fearlessness. But the difference is, I just take a child. Prabhupada gives the example of father, a big, strong father. The child knows when he's with his father, the father will protect him. But we're with the Supreme Father. So we should be confident that he can protect us so we can remain in Krishna consciousness in any circumstance and not become bewildered by illusion. So that's our fear, platform of fearlessness. Anything else? Kuala, Gurindaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.